she got peanut butter on her ass.
I heard that. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It is the award-winning podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name, Dorian. With me as always, Max. What's up, Max? How you been?
I've been better. I mean, you know, everything is kind of imploding in the world and being very weird, but we're getting through it.
rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing fine. I think I'm doing better than a lot of people. But, you know, I've been very, very stressed out at points. Pretty exhausted.
Yeah,
that's a fun downer.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes you got to be honest. If you're listening and you're also feeling down, know that you're not the only one who's kind of down in the dumps sometimes. And I like to, every now and then I talk to people who, like, view us as podcasters like it's our profession, and it like we're really cushy in our career as podcasters and like earn a living off of this, and this is the only thing. Like, we don't also juggle day jobs and job hunting in the midst of a pandemic and like relationship fucking strife and all of the fun things that everybody deals with too. It's like, it's a lot to juggle when you're going through a pandemic and a lot of craziness in the world. But
especially for some social boys like we are.
Yeah. I'm getting cooped up and going a little crazy. But yeah. That's nothing new.
No. Glad my wife is here. Glad my dog is here.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Actually, speaking of social things, I went to a sit-down restaurant for the first time since the pandemic started this past week.
Ooh. Where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to Pat and Gracie's in, like, up by Worthington.
Yeah.
In Ohio. It was good. It was great. We had a burger and each burgers and beers. It was a good time. And, you know, just kept a mask on until we ate our food. And they were very, like, good about keeping people separated. And it's very clean. I would recommend it. I think it did me good to just, like, have a little bit of normalcy of sitting down in a restaurant that was clean and, like, is pretty easy to be mutually respectful of each other's space and clean.
Yeah.
And there's no problem in the world that a good burger and a beer can't solve. That's patently false. I don't actually believe that, but it feels nice.
I mean, Katrina and I went out to a restaurant for the first time since, March 13th. It was the last time we'd been in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And we were out in Yellow Springs, which is like a tiny town west, like an hour west of Columbus. And they had booths, but every booth had this big, like, plastic divider between it, and the menus were just, you had to scan a QR code to get the menu, and I had never scanned a QR code before.
Right.
Which felt very weird, but
yeah, that's what we had to do at Pat and Gracie's. I totally forgot QR codes existed, but yeah, I guess they're weirdly convenient now.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been on this call for a while, and because we've been dicking around and talking about restaurants, my dog's medication alarm just went off. So I'm going to go give her some medicine with peanut butter. So I'll be back in 2 minutes.
See you soon.
She got peanut butter on her ass.
I heard that. You said so repeatedly.
It was very cute.
That is very cute. All right. Well, you and I are both probably well fed. Your dog's got her medication. We should probably record a podcast.
Yeah, we should probably get into it.
You typically put together something fun, interesting for us. And I just want to say that you told me via text earlier this week what you were working on. And I'm especially excited about this. I've been itching to get to this topic for a really long time.
Oh, good.
I'm super excited. Why don't you tell the listeners what you're working on?
Yeah, so I did this as a fun little gift to you because I did have a rough last week, which is why this episode's delayed. And I just want to publicly thank you for being genuinely great about that and a very supportive co-host. Yeah. And I want to thank the listeners for being cool. So I wanted to do something nice for you and cover ossuaries.
Hell yeah.
And that's going to mean that we're going to get to look at some pictures of skeletons in like cool like friar habits and big rooms made of bones. So very excited.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Real quick, I also want to thank our listeners. Everybody's been really cool about when we've had delays and a bunch of shit coming up. We know we are not like, we don't have the regularity of, say, a YouTuber that puts out pointless videos every single day of their life. on an unrelated note, completely unrelated, Jake Paul, return my calls, you fucking coward. But we've had like nothing but like positive experiences with everybody.
Yeah.
Just in the midst of us figuring out how to keep this as like regular quality content. And we really appreciate it. We want to keep making stuff that's not just like pumped out, you know, just to get it out there, but like quality, interesting stuff where you learn a lot and maybe have some fun along the way. And just with people being really cool with us as we're navigating that, it makes our job so much easier. And yeah, I really appreciate that too. Thanks for bearing with us through the delays and whatnot.
Yeah. Ossuaries.
Wow. The delay on the Zoom call makes that nearly impossible and probably a nightmare to listen to.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's get into it. You got your seltzer?
Yes, I do. I have Good & Gather Ginger Peach today.
That's Target brand?
Yeah, Target brand.
All right. I've got the just the Giant Eagle Black Cherry. So, the official pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment. Here we go.
Oh, that feels good.
I see you're koozing today. What are you koozing with?
Fiesta.
It's Fiesta.
Mine says number one at everything.
At everything. You getting your peanut butter ass all over the bed?
That's like the next step after candy ass is calling someone a peanut butter ass. Come over there and beat your peanut butter ass. And that's the bottom line. Because the pre-Dead Boys said so. I think we'd make a very good tag team. I think that'd be very fun if we had an opportunity to do some tag team wrestling.
What the fuck are you talking about? Have you seen me? You see this? You see what I'm working with over here?
Yeah, you know what I see? I see a tall, lanky, bearded man. You know who else was tall, lanky, and bearded? The inventor
Abraham
of
Lincoln.
the fucking choke slam, my guy.
Oh,
that's our special move is we just choke slam people while telling them about bones.
I do like that we were thinking about the same thing.
Your bones are mine. I'm gonna add you to our collection.
We can like co-opt the brand Bone Collector.
Ooh, yeah.
Be fun.
WWE, hit us up.
All right, good lord. So, Dorian, as is typical, will you please read us a definition of the word ossuary? And I figured we could do this because it's kind of like a weird word that we don't really use over here in the U.S. Right. So it's helpful to know what we're working with.
Yeah, what is an ossuary? Do I have one in my house? Okay, I'll read the definition. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines ossuary as, quote, a depository for the bones of the dead.
It's like literally the least helpful description for anything that I've ever read.
It's a depository. Doesn't that mean you put bones up your butt? Thank you. I thought it was pretty clever.
Save that one for the hit reel. No, I thought that like the Merriam-Webster version of this was very vague and weird. But luckily, our friends over at funeralguide.co.uk, who we've talked about before, have a definition that goes a little more in depth if you want to go through the real definition.
Let's get our entomology on.
Yeah.
Or etymology. Entomology is bugs.
Bugs, yep.
Yeah, we'll save that for pre-bug boys. Os is the Latin word for bone. An ossuary is an above-ground chamber that contains the bones of people that have died. The use of ossuaries is an ancient practice in Europe and the Near East, and these structures can be anything from a small container to an entire church. Before remains are placed in an ossuary, they are buried, and the body is left to decompose before being exhumed and cleaned. Ossuaries are common in Catholic countries, and in the medieval and early modern periods, they were used to save space after a cemetery became full. In the first century, Jewish people traditionally buried their dead by wrapping the body in cloth and placing it in a tomb hewn out of rock. A year or so after the burial, the bones were retrieved and placed in an ossuary that was stored in the tomb. In Zoroastrianism, an ancient religion that originated in Iran, it is believed that bodies became impure after death. The body of a person who has died is left exposed in an isolated structure called a dakhma, or Tower of Silence, to decompose and be scavenged by vultures before the bones are collected and placed in an ossuary. In contrast to Zoroastrians, Eastern Orthodox Church funerals are based on the belief that the body is a temple. Cremation is forbidden, and the bodies of people who have died are traditionally exhumed after several years and placed in an ossuary, often at a special memorial service on the anniversary of their death.
Much more clear.
Yeah, like much more thorough.
Yeah. So we've talked about ossuaries a few times before on the show, like we did Towers of Silence in our episode on the Middle East. As I was kind of going through this too, I realized that the umbrella term ossuary is like a pretty broad one. And because of that, it can be kind of vague as to like what is an ossuary and what isn't. This is kind of a fun fact. The thing commonly known as the largest ossuary in the world is the Paris Catacombs.
Yeah.
A very early episode for us.
Yes. Episode 14.
Oh.
Go back and look that up.
Yeah. So I thought it was weird that a thing could be like an ossuary and a catacomb at the same time. And it's kind of tricky, but it hinges on that definition of like an above ground chamber holding the bones of the dead. At the Paris Catacombs, there's 6 million people stored underground. But since you're like walking through a hallway and the bones are above foot level in the hallway, it's technically an ossuary because they're displayed above ground, even though they're underground.
Okay, if you want to get real technical about it, Max.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird and I just kind of wanted to clear that up. So, you know, I was being kind to people who also were confused. So, so like that massive underground complex with 6 million people is an ossuary, and a simple Jewish tomb box, which usually is like 2 feet long and a foot wide and a foot tall, is also an ossuary. So for our purposes, what we're going to be talking about are spaces where bones are stored for viewing and access. So ossuary history. For a long time, they weren't really necessary because there weren't a lot of people around. And where there were a lot of people, folks had space, like a lot of space to bury in plains and fields and stuff. Like if you had to bury a large number of people, it wasn't that difficult to find a space. But this changed as people moved away from fertile farming soil and towards drier climates. So you see this crop up a lot, as you mentioned, in the Middle East, meaning like Egypt, Israel, Palestine, Turkey, places like that. And a major reason for that is because Jewish burials are a thing. So Jewish burials, which I think we've talked about before in an episode, frequently used ossuaries. Because Israel doesn't have a lot of soil, it was common for Jews to bury their dead in like rock-hewn tombs. So you would have a quarry or a cave, and you would go like scrape out a bunch of the soft rock until it was big enough for a body to be able to go in. And then you would lay the body to rest in there, like a honeycomb or one of the pod hotels, which freaked me out a lot.
Right.
Do you like those? I don't like them.
You're talking about in predominantly in Asia, where they have a hotel that'll just be like, you're kind of shoved into a cubby. Your bed is like a little mailbox. I hate that. I'm super claustrophobic. I don't know about you, but like being a tall, lanky person, I think that that just like comes with the territory of being tall. That like tight spaces are not cool. And a tight space that you can shut a door that locks behind you while you're stuck in a little 6 foot long thing. No, that sounds like hell. I don't want that.
No. Even like the trunk of a car freaks me out.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in there.
Yeah, it's awful.
So that's where the dead were buried, in kind of like pod hotels.
Right. But they're dead, so it doesn't bug them as much.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem that still presents itself with that is that there's only a finite amount of rock space still. And the other problem is that like Jewish burial law says the body should remain intact after death. Like you should keep as much of the body together as possible. So things like cremation are out of the question. So what I've done is I've put a picture of the solution in your notes.
It's a bread box.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
it kind of looks like one, at least.
This is kind of the like apex of funeral design for a while. This is a first century Jewish ossuary. Specifically, this one is the James ossuary. It's named that because although the ossuary itself is definitely from the first century, it has like a probably definitely forged inscription on it reading James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. So it's like a very Indiana Jones style kind of holy relic that this guy claims to have. But like the inscription's probably forged, but the box itself is first century like Jewish ossuary.
Okay. So that's carbon dated. That's fact of the era it was from, but probably a little too convenient for Judeo-Christian people to, you know, this is definitely James, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to find the oldest rock that I can and just write like Jesus was here on it and sell it on eBay for millions of dollars. If this podcast has taught me anything, it's that I can get away with shit like that.
Dude, after we did our veneration episode, I am still getting emails from eBay advertising like Christian relics and like buy this lock of hair from so and so. It's wild. What Jews would do at this time is after a body had sufficiently decomposed in a rock tomb, they would take the bones out and like fold them up like a camping tent and then put them in the limestone box. And then take the box and put it back in the tomb. And it would free up enough space that you could put a new body in there. So it was kind of like a family grave plot. But, like, you would take the bodies apart after a time.
It's very efficient. The IKEA fan in me loves this.
Yeah, it's modular. It's modular design, which is all the rage these days.
Right.
I mean, for a long time, this is what ossuaries were. This is, like, the peak of... I wasn't kidding when I said this was like the peak of funeral tech, because it kind of was, you know?
Right.
The boxes may have been decorated a bit more at points, but ultimately there like wasn't really a reason to. I mean, they were designed for functionality, simplicity, and to maximize space. And a plain box with right angles is pretty much the best way to do that.
Yeah. So, stackable.
Yeah, I mean, they were... For a long time, ossuaries were functional spaces, but then populations started increasing. specifically in Europe. And that's how we get like the big spooky looking ossuaries that you're probably thinking of. And this is also where I'm going to start showing you a lot of photos, which means it's also where it's important to note that we're going to be putting all these photos in our free show notes at our Patreon page.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a donor. Just head over to patreon.com/predeadboys and you'll be able to see our show notes, including all of the very good photos that I'm about to show Dorian. And they are very great. I think when most people think of ossuaries, they think of the Sedlec ossuary. That's like the big one.
Yes.
So, as promised, for you being a great friend, here are three photos you get.
Hell yeah. So, if you haven't seen Sedlec ossuary, just imagine a building, right? And, like, you just put as many bones as possible in cool arrangements all over the ceilings, the walls, the archways. Maybe you make some pillars out of bones and skulls that are decorated totem pole style. Maybe you make a chandelier out of bones with like femur bones dangling down underneath tripled up piles of skulls.
The chandelier is like wild.
It's so fucking cool. This is, yeah, just all the cool stuff you could imagine doing with bones as a craft. It's been done already in Sedlec ossuary.
I might surprise you with a bonus thing at the end here about Sedlec.
Bonus?
Bone us? Please don't bone us. It might have a fun thing that you didn't know you could do with bones, but that has happened in this ossuary. But it is really hard to convey, like, the sheer volume of bones that have been used to make this place. So if you don't know what we're talking about, like, just Google Sedlec ossuary right now and look at some of the photos, because it's dope. Dorian, can you talk us through the history of Sedlec ossuary? I do want to note that this is from sedlecossuary.com, and I had to editorialize it a bit because the ossuary is located in the Czech Republic and there were some errors in translation. So
yeah, we'll read our version of it.
Yeah. I like that they have a website. It makes me happy.
Yeah. And very active social media too. Like, I follow them on Instagram, and they post very frequently cool photos of the ossuary.
Well, maybe I won't surprise you then. I didn't know that they had a gram.
Oh, yeah. It's very good. The history of Sedlec ossuary began in 1278 when Henry, the abbot of the monastery in Sedlec, was sent to the Holy Land on a pilgrimage. When he returned, he brought a jar of soil from Golgotha, the site outside of Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified. Eventually, the soil was scattered on the grounds of the monastery as a blessing. Word quickly spread throughout the town, region, and eventually Central Europe. Travel was difficult at this time, and holy relics made any burial site much more desirable. Thus, the monastery at Sedlec became one of the most populated graveyards in all of Europe. As history progressed, the Black Death and multiple massive wars killed millions and resulted in tens of thousands being buried at Sedlec. In the 1400s, the church had to be expanded to accommodate the multitude of new burials. While building the church, however, laborers found that they were constantly exhuming bones wherever they dug. As a result, the monks ordered that the bones be completely exhumed and displayed in the church. After hundreds of years and more burials, the site eventually became packed with bones. In 1870, the monks eventually tasked a local woodcarver, Frontisek Rindt, with organizing the bones a bit more. The result was multiple bone chandeliers, a bone coat of arms, and bone heraldry at the entrances. To complete his work, Rindt signed his name in bone on the wall of the building.
Did you know that? Did you know about the bone signature?
No, I didn't.
Okay, look at the photo of this.
What? Okay, so they're all bone shapes forming the letters. Are those like like pasted onto the side of the wall, all of those individual bones? Or no, they look like they're nailed in.
They're screwed into the wall, yeah.
Wow. Impressive.
I think my favorite is the C and the O, which are like, was it like a rib on a spinal cord?
It looks like it, yeah. Like a top-down view of a rib and vertebrae.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild, and I think like this is a profoundly difficult thing for us to wrap our heads around, that this just like happened. But it all leads back to the idea of like memento mori, which we've have to have talked about before on the show.
Several times.
Yeah. So memento mori is the term given to the idea of remembering death. Like remembering that one day you're going to die and that everyone else is going to die. Basically, like, death is the great equalizer, and people should remember that frequently. So even though there's, like, this pervasive sense of, like, total morbidity and gloom when you look at some of these pictures, like, it looks like a weird, like, Castlevania cut level.
Fuck yeah.
Ultimately, it is a message of the equality of all people and the value of life to those who are living. I think that's nice, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's tough to glean that from just looking at a chandelier made of bones and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. But that's what the point is, so what are you going to do?
Right. I think that's really interesting. That's been the appealing part of making this show, has been like, this is why ostensibly we're a podcast that's about exploring a bunch of different cultures and how people... different people groups deal with death, is because it is a great equalizer.
Yeah.
That like we realize we're on the same playing field as people that we as Westerners often view as very strange or weird or disturbing. Like death positivity kind of becomes a gateway into understanding people who are very different from us, because at the end of the day, we all are going to face the same thing, death.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good summary of kind of what this is trying to communicate, you know, like you can look at all these bones and you're like, this could have been someone who was incredibly rich, or it could have been someone who had nothing, or people mm-hmm. with like really frightening diseases, like, but it doesn't matter. All their bones are hanging from the ceiling in the same
right.
place.
Right.
A thing that blows me away, especially being in like, kind of our little baby country of America that's like a couple hundred years old. This is like not uncommon in Europe, like churches and places like this.
Places like displaying bones like this?
Yeah. Like you remember when we looked at the Paris catacombs and like it was just miles of underground hallways that had bones everywhere, like skulls in the wall. Little bone, like, candle holders.
Just wallpapering everything with bones. Absolutely.
Yeah, and, like, I don't want to call said, like, ossuary run-of-the-mill, because it seems like a weird thing to call that. But at one point, I was just, like, sitting at my desk with five pages about different ossuaries open. Like, five different ossuaries, and I was like, oh, yeah, these are all, like, churches with bone chandeliers. That's cool. It was like a very weird feeling of being like opening a new page and being like, oh, I've seen this before. There's like right. 400 skulls.
So show me some bone laden furniture that I haven't seen yet. I'm getting bored.
Getting bored of these bones. I do think there are going to be a couple stories coming up that are fun to tell. So we're going to go on a quick little tour. So first, we're going to head down old South America way to Portugal for the Capela dos Ossos.
Dos Ossos.
Capela dos Ossos, or Chapel of Bones. Dorian, how's your Portuguese?
Bad. Non-existent.
Okay. Well, this is the entrance in your notes. There's a photo of the entrance to the Capela dos Ossos. You know what that means? Kind of above the inscription there.
I'll try and read this. This is going to be bad.
It's also brutal because they do the thing where like U's are V's.
Yeah, Yeah, that old Latin thing. All right. Nos osos que aquí estamos, pelos vosos esperamos. Can we just, like, recognize my pronunciation was really good and leave it at that?
I think that was good.
I think it sounded pretty strong.
Yeah.
I'll probably get roasted by some Portuguese speaker somewhere, though.
You think you'll get roasted more than me for saying that Portugal is in South America?
I didn't even catch that.
It is an Arrested Development reference. Katrina and I have been rewatching it. But I said that, and then I was like, man, it sounds really stupid.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that. So that says much more about how stupid I am than anything about you.
So you can roast me on my geography or Dorian on his pronunciation. Either
one. Yes. No, what does this say? What does this mean?
So that translates to, we bones that are here await yours.
Ooh, I like that.
Which is very cool. It's like a nice, like, marble kind of... I don't know if that's an archway, but a nice marble, like, door frame.
Yeah, this is gorgeous. This place looks absolutely beautiful.
It's a nice welcoming entrance to the chapel. Mm-hmm. When you go inside the chapel, you are greeted with this photo, which I've put in there, and I've turned it sideways because you really do need to kind of see the full scale of this.
God. Speaking of archways, here's one that's made entirely out of bones and skulls.
Uh-huh.
Is there any non-bone material in this wall? Is kind of what I'm left wondering. Like, it looks like just every single inch was compacted with as many bones as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's mortar holding it together. Right. But the wall of this chapel is skulls and femurs.
Crazy.
I mean, it's like another Memento Mori piece. And what they were going for when they built this chapel is they were trying to communicate the idea that the souls of the departed will, like, help the souls of the living on their journey to heaven, which, you know, is, I don't know what it was like back then. Maybe that was an easier thing to glean from a wall made of skulls. But in case you didn't get that interpretation, they wrote a poem, which I'm going to have you read. So this poem is inscribed, like, along the chapel.
And this is translated, correct? It was originally in Portuguese? Yes. Okay. Thank you for translating this for me. Save me humiliation.
I thought you did just fine.
Thanks.
I mean, I took German and Chinese in high school, so I don't know shit, but...
Where are you going in such a hurry, traveler? Stop. Do not proceed. You have no greater concern than this one, that on which you focus your sight. Recall how many have passed from this world. Reflect on your similar end. There is good reason to reflect, if only all did the same. Ponder, you so influenced by fate. Among the many concerns of the world, so little do you reflect on death. If by chance you glance at this place, stop, for the sake of your journey. The more you pause, the more you will progress.
I like that a lot. I think that's a nice little poem.
Yeah.
I like the more you pause, the more you will progress. In that setting of being there and kind of reflecting on all of the bones, kind of making you more attuned to your life and the value of it.
It makes me especially eager to go here now, today, in our culture. Like, I think, like anyone, I am frantically, like, I'm stuffing my schedule with things. I have work. I have, like, all of these obligations. And it's very easy to just get overwhelmed and then to stack all of your free time with, like, hobbies and video games and chores that you have to get done around the house. Like, I think by default, as an adult in Western culture, you have to be very busy all of the time.
Yeah.
And anytime we talk about Memento Mori, I think it's really cool. Like, we have an opportunity with all this talk about death and bones and stuff to take a moment to pause and reflect. Yeah. I think that this is maybe more applicable to us today than anyone else in any point in history in some ways.
Yeah, when you think of like how much our time is commodified today, like you can get everything delivered because time is the most valuable thing you have. And, you know, you can pay $6 on top of your already kind of expensive food order to get it delivered to your place.
Right.
I don't know, not that you should be going out a ton right now, but like, you know, I like going to the grocery store, but some people are just too busy, and there's a big industry on kind of allowing you to be as busy as possible.
For sure. But yeah, it's an interesting concept that gets lost. For the sake of your journey, the more you pause, the more you will progress. That
yeah.
Reflecting on, you know, what is ultimate and true in the grand scheme of things, like beyond my job and how much money I make or how much fun I'm having doing the thing that I'm doing right now. Like, am I keeping in mind that this is in the context of one day my life is going to be over?
Yeah.
One day we are all going to face the same thing, which is death. And there's some degree that contemplating that and reflecting on that is actually good for us. It's good. This yeah. is good stuff.
Yeah. It's nice. And we'll leave it behind in Portugal. So right now, the next thing I want to look at is the Capuchin crypt in Rome. This ossuary houses the bodies of 3,700 Capuchin friars, which is an order of Catholic priests and also a kind of monkey.
That's right.
Which is fun. Yeah.
I don't know how relevant that is to this particular area in Rome, but
I think it's because the monkeys have like a little white spot on their heads that kind of looks like, I don't know if they call them yarmulkes in Catholicism, but
like whatever the friars wear though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. Never made that connection.
Yeah, that's where they get
them. There were probably no monkeys native to Rome though, right?
No, I don't believe so.
Welcome to our wildlife podcast.
That monkey stole my spaghetti. Hey. This is a crypt where it's kind of similar, but the bodies are arranged kind of non-traditionally. This crypt has been in use since 1631 and features like a one-in, one-out policy, where after the crypt is filled, which took place very quickly, anytime a new body is interred, the oldest body comes out and then is added to the like ossuary art that decorates the crypt. Typically, a body will spend about 30 years in the soil before moving to the crypt proper. So it's got time to like decompose and everything and to kind of like dry the bones out. So in the Capuchin crypt, there are six rooms. Two of them are pretty standard. You've got the Crypt of Resurrection, which has like the story in the Bible where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. It's got like a mural of that, but made out of bones, which like that's what we're counting as standard in this episode. So that should kind of inform like how crazy this gets.
Yeah.
And then like a mass chapel, which doesn't have any bones in it. It's just where they do mass. Like pretty normal rooms. But then you've got the Crypt of the Skulls, which only has skulls in it.
Tight.
You've got the Crypt of the Pelvises, which only has pelvises in it.
Okay.
You've got the Crypt of the Leg Bones and Thigh Bones, which only has leg bones and thigh bones in it.
Makes sense.
And then you have the Crypt of the Three Skeletons. And this features the picture that I may be most excited to show you.
This is metal as fuck.
It's fucking tight.
Yeah. So we got two robed skeletons kind of on either side of this mantle, it looks like. And they are both kind of surrounded by an archway of... Are those pelvis bones?
Those are shoulder blades.
Shoulder blades, okay. Yeah, there's very neatly stacked skulls and femurs next to them, and in the middle is this huge centerpiece with three skulls on the top of it. And this is fucking sweet. This looks like an album cover for somebody at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, like the fact that the skeletons still have the like robes on.
Yeah.
Is super, super cool.
Yeah, they're both bowing forward. So kind of spiritual feeling, kind of ominous. I don't know. There is some like, there's a lot of reverence here. It's spooky, maybe more because of our cultural association with bones than theirs, but it's definitely, you get a sense looking at this that there is some reverence. This is like a sort of holy place just based on how they've arranged all of these bones so intricately.
Yeah, like I think there's like the amount of work that goes into even articulating like an animal skeleton is a lot. Like it's hard to get those bones arranged after all the tissue and stuff is gone.
Yeah.
So like articulating and posing and doing all this stuff with like real skeletons is difficult. This is like labor intensive and artistic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So because the Capuchin Crypt is in Rome, it's been like kind of a popular tourist attraction throughout the years. Like people were going to Rome anyway, so you might as well go to the crypt. In his book, The Innocents Abroad, Mark Twain wrote a nice little passage about it, which I thought was kind of fun.
The reflection that he must someday be taken apart like an engine or a clock and worked up into arches and pyramids and hideous frescoes did not distress this monk in the least. I thought he even looked as if he were thinking, with complacent vanity, that his own skull would look well on top of the heap, and his own ribs add a charm to the frescoes, which possibly they lacked at present.
Yeah, so he's talking about, like, his tour guide, the monk that was showing him around the crypt, and kind of noting that, like, oh, he's not weirded out by this, he's just, like, thinking about what his own skull would look like in here.
Yeah. I like that. That he's like, you know, there's just like one piece missing and then it's perfect. And that's going to be me. That's going to be my skull.
Well, I like that there's that kind of idea of contributing your body to the part of a whole, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're absolutely not just squirreling your bones away, but that you're making something bigger and better by doing it.
Not just shoving them in a plastic container and storing them in the Billy shelf.
What's the Billy shelf? I don't.
That was a IKEA joke for you.
Okay.
That's a line of shelves sold from IKEA.
I think I might have some of those.
I think it's the one with the glass doors.
Oh, never mind.
It cracks me up. One of my friends, Ryan, he keeps referring to his shelf as the Billy. Because that's where they got it.
That's good.
You come for the skulls and you stay for the IKEA jokes, people. We got IKEA jokes for days.
I mean, you got to go easy on us because we just got that IKEA like 2 years ago. So it's still and cool to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Columbus is still kind of enamored with IKEA. Also, you just got married and I feel like that's kind of the hallmark of anybody who, you know, moves in with someone new, needs a lot of furniture very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a couple shelves, one of like the boxes. The modular box with like the four compartments.
Oh yeah, the one that's like perfectly sized for vinyl records.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's got my Switch in there.
Hell
yeah.
Great
thing.
It's a great thing. And you know, we're on the come up. We're still in the process of getting rich and famous off of our podcast. And we're not quite to the point where we can make our own bone furniture yet.
Yeah.
But when we do, we'll get rid of all of our IKEA shelves.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of all
that. Good.
Oh, you not having it until then?
Until then, deal with it.
I'm gonna throw out all the particle board and replace it with like sternum.
Yeah.
But so this is kind of a fun fact. So that Capuchin Crypt, that's actually what Sedlec was based off of when Sedlec was
interesting.
Built. That's kind of fun. Which like kind of weirdly highlights how popular doing this with bones was at the time.
Right.
That like they had another thing to copy off of. It's
yeah.
Goofy.
And just so many bones, right? Like, there's no way we could get access to this many bones right now. There's too many people who are pumping bodies full of formaldehyde and burying them in coffins that, like, we don't have this as a natural resource anymore.
We're preserving too much flesh.
It's yeah, foolish. That's fucked up. Give me bones. I have crafting to do.
Give me the bones. I got an Etsy to open.
Yes.
So, for our final place, we're going to be jumping over to St. Bartholomew's Church in Poland. And here, as always, are some photos.
This is a cute little place.
Yeah.
Kind of yellow stucco walls, nice red roof. Looks very quaint and pretty and sunny.
Looks a little boring compared to the other ones.
Oh, they even got angels on the side of the building.
Yeah.
Just above the door. This is a very sweet place.
Yeah. Look inside, though.
Fuck yes! Oh my god, there's no visible wall or ceiling anymore. It's just all bones.
Yeah, so a lot of the other crypts and ossuaries we've talked about, like, have some wall space that isn't bone, or like the bones are kind of relegated to a specific spot. This chapel is all bone.
Hell yeah.
Like, even the ceiling is like kind of a cross-hatched, like femurs and tibias and stuff.
It's like a web of limb bones.
Honestly, it's probably very quiet in there. A lot of good sound dampening properties.
Yeah. Man, could you imagine if we recorded a podcast in there? How good it would sound?
Pretty tight.
Damn.
So what this is a mass grave for people who died in the 30 Years' War, the Silesian War, and multiple cholera epidemics and other plagues. So, definitely like a place where you were praying for the souls of the departed.
Yeah.
The chapel proper, like the thing you're seeing there, is made of the skulls and bodies of 3,000 people. And there are 21,000 other bones and skeletons and stuff interred in the basement, on the ceiling. They had a lot of stuff to work with here.
A lot of bones. A lot of people.
And I think this one's also fun because the skulls of the people who built it, like the founders of the church, are sitting on the altar there.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why, like, so that second one from the left is kind of smashed up. I don't know why.
They didn't like that guy.
The one on the right is, like, just cut in half, like, top-wise.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Took his brain out or something? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe they changed their mind last minute, like, no, he's going to be a bowl. No, wait, no, we want to put him on the altar. My bad.
Well, they still cut the top of the skull off to use it as a bowl. You can't make a bowl out of the bottom of a skull.
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe that was it. They were like, prioritize getting a bowl made out of this guy's skull. And then they were like, what do we do with the rest of it? Eh, I guess we'll put it on the altar.
But like, you can look in the background and it's just like, if you were like kneeling at this altar, it's just like walls of skulls behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, I want to go to some of these ossuaries so bad, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe it might be a year or two before we can start planning trips out of the States to other places again, but we talk so much about memento mori and death positivity and like facing the conversation about what's going to ultimately happen to us. And I just feel like sitting in front of this many people and their remains, like decorating these places, is such a humbling experience.
Yeah,
I would imagine. I mean, yeah, it goes beyond just like my initial interests of like, you know, just listening to heavy metal way too much and being way too excited to see and collect bones. But like, there's got to be something about being confronted with this many human remains that has got to be staggering and humbling. And I guess I do have a little bit of an experience with that. I went on a relief trip through our church to Cambodia, God, literally 10 years ago now. But, you know, we went to the areas where, you know, during the 70s and 80s, there was a huge genocide in Cambodia, this regime run by Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge. And as a result, there are lots of dead bodies that, like, were continually unearthed in these fields where they would work people literally to death. And there's one monument that's just a tower that's filled up with all of the unidentified bones that have surfaced in those fields over the years. And it's horrifying. It's definitely, that was, I would say, a very humbling experience that kind of exposed me to the reality of death in a new way. But when it's something like that, that's associated with trauma and, you know, abuse and mass murder.
Yeah.
It's a very different experience where, like, you're forced to come to terms with something awful that happened in history. And there's something about these ossuaries that's really cool, where people voluntarily, maybe didn't necessarily in every case volunteer their bones to build these ossuaries, but it's not associated with so many experiences of trauma and awful behavior that humans do to each other. Instead, it's something that's done in the philosophy of, like, we are all going to contribute to this structure when we die. And for a lot of the people, I mean, you talked about this altar, the founders, I assume, volunteered their bodies to be contributed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's so cool to be surrounded by a marker of death that's not associated with evil, but instead associated with people coming together to be constructive. I'm so eager to visit one of these places someday and see it in person. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, it is almost kind of akin to sky burial, where there's this sense of being part of something bigger and wanting to use your body for something larger than yourself, you know? I think it's really neat. It's beautiful, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for this gift, this blessing of this episode, that we finally got to talk about ossuaries. All the cool ones that I've been seeing on Instagram and Reddit and shared on the internet everywhere.
I didn't know they had a gram.
Yeah. Look up Said Like Ossuary on Instagram and follow them. They basically just post a lot of photos and, like, some history tidbits about the ossuary. It's very cool. It's a fun follow.
Yeah.
Speaking of following people on social media, if you like this episode, one way you could support us is just talk to us, interact with us. We're on Twitter and Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can also email the podcast, predeadboys@gmail.com. If you search PreDeadBoys podcast on Facebook, you can join our Facebook group. And the most bumpin' happening place to be right now is our Discord. It's fucking cool. Everybody's talking and hanging out and interacting with each other, even during COVID times. It's a good time. You should join our Discord. Just message us if you want an invite to that. If you want to financially support the podcast, you can join our Patreon. Again, that's patreon.com/predeadboys. And that is where we are going to post show notes, where you can look at these photos for yourself. You don't just have to take Maya and Max's word for it and go off of our audible descriptions about what bones look like. Go to patreon.com/predeadboys to get a look at the show notes for this and the past couple episodes. See those photos. And also, if you pledge a small amount of money per month, you can get access to bonus episodes and some extra goodies. Max, you're making a face. You seem like you're looking at some cool stuff there on the Said Like Ossuary Insta.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm pretty distracted, but I just found out there's a Said Like Ossuary VR experience.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have any VR anything, but I might buy, like, a fucking HTC Vive or whatever.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm paying attention. I'm done. Okay.
Okay. Motherfucker, you better pay attention because we got a brand new supporter on Patreon.
Aw. Nice.
For $5 a month, we've got a pledge from Kayla Modlin. And yeah, thank you so much, Kayla. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Hope
Kayla.
You enjoy all the bonus episodes that are coming out every month for you that only you and the other $5 a month patrons have access to. Again, if you want to get access to the extra goodies, or if you just want to look up the free show notes that are available to everyone, make sure you go to patreon.com/predeadboys. We appreciate that. We appreciate you checking that out.
Yeah.
You can also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. If you do that, we'll read your review. No rush, because they keep shutting down these like star review podcast services, and everyone's going to Spotify anyway. So
yeah.
No biggie, but you know, the best way you can support this podcast, as always, is to tell your friends and family about it, to share on social media. Do whatever you can to spread the word. We don't advertise. We don't want to eat up time on our podcast telling you to like fucking make a website at Squarespace or whatever the fuck. Like, we count on the genuine, honest interactions between human beings. You guys remember those? Remember when we used to have those?
Remember before brands showed up?
Yeah, before we got a bunch of mentions from like Kellogg's telling us to buy their dumb shit. Anyway.
Did you see this good tweet Wendy's just had?
No, it's probably very stupid.
Yeah. There's not even a tweet. It's just they tweeted something fucking dumb. Probably.
Yeah. You can count on brands doing that. Anyway, we don't want the help of brands. We want you guys to keep doing what you're doing. Share your favorite episode. Share this episode with a friend. Post it on Twitter or Facebook and tag some people in it. That's the best way to support this podcast. We really appreciate any and all of you who have done that. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us. Max, do you think if you start collecting enough bones, you can start outfitting your house with ossuary style furnishings? Or do you think that because you have a rental property that the landlord might frown upon that?
I think he would probably frown upon that. He's not the best landlord. We're looking into getting our own place, hopefully soon. But
oh, nice.
I would love to be able to make a little bone chair.
That's the first thing you got to ask when you go to check out an apartment. They're like, okay, this is all well and good. I don't care about the neighborhood. I don't care if the plumbing works. What I need to know is, can I replace the pillars and the drywall with mortar and bones?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, can I just add a whole new layer of skulls onto this?
You're just like looking at in the closets and like, yeah, some femurs would line this really well. And the guy's like, what? Anyway, thanks again for listening, guys. This is Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rock.
Slipped.
Did you almost fall off the chair?
Yeah. I've been like kind of like Julep is licking her butt a lot. So she's been licking her butt, and I don't want it to do it like on my bed. So I keep like trying to distract her. And I tried it and almost fell out of my chair. Stop licking your ass.
The height of comedy for me would be you screaming, hey, stop licking your ass while falling out of your chair. And all I see in the Zoom window is just your legs up in the
air. Sticking straight up. I mean, her ass is covered in peanut butter right now. So that's still.
Oh, no.
Not really. I think she got all of it out, but.
Oh, God.